Awesome. All right. Well, welcome to session one. Over the next few sessions, we're going to just dive deep into the amazing gift of God, that amazing gift of the prophetic. In this first session, we're going to cover just some foundations and protocols, because who knows that if we don't minister in the tone of God, then we can do damage. And it doesn't matter whether that's miracles, preaching, healing, the prophetic. The Bible calls us, Jesus tells us, and God tells us, God is love, and we've been made one with God, which means as we minister, we need to make sure that love is the motive of our heart always. So we're just going to cover some foundations and some protocols, because when you leave here, I believe because the Lord placed this on my heart, that when you leave here, you will be trained and equipped, and you will just have the prophetic unctions will come so much quicker and so much easier, but also the gift of prophecy is just going to be released today. And so I want to make sure that we're set up well, that when we go out and we start prophesying over people, that we do it in the heartbeat of the Father, which is love, so that we know that we're drawing people onto Him, not onto ourselves, not onto anything weird, but onto Him. Amen? All right, so we're going to start where Paul starts. Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, tells us to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It is a great thing to desire to prophesy. It's a great thing to desire to have the gift of prophecy, because prophecy reveals the heartbeat of God. Every word carries life, calling us higher into the purposes of God, strengthening us to walk with Him and to endure with Him. That's the beautiful gift of prophecy, is that you could be going through the hardest trial and then somebody comes along and whispers to you what the Lord is saying, that makes you remember the promises of God, that pulls you out of that place of hopelessness and makes you go, you know what, this too will end, because it's not done until it's good, because God is good. Amen? Amen. It's designed to lift us up and to encourage us, to align us with God's will, to align us with God's plans over our lives, and to bring Him glory. Prophecy is about hearing the voice of God, and as we carry His heart, then we can begin to proclaim His words. So as believers, I want to assure you, I want you to be confident that we can all hear the voice of the Lord. It tells us that in John chapter 10. So John chapter 10 is this part where Jesus is having this confrontation with Jewish leaders, where Jesus is revealing His identity, He's revealing His mission through what familiar imagery to Jewish people was, which is the shepherd and the sheep. And so we get to the climax in John chapter 10, verse 27, and Jesus declares, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." So we can be assured, if we are believers, that we can hear the voice of God. Because one of the biggest lies the enemy tells us is that we can't hear God's voice, so we can't prophesy. But that's a lie. Because the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, we can hear His voice. So I just want to break that lie off anyone that's been believing that. Amen? So the sheep is us, those of us who belong to Jesus. We hear His voice, we recognize His words, and equally important, we recognize His tone, that He is love. That as new covenant believers, He speaks to us through the voice of love. So when we're relaying God's message to somebody, that's what we're relaying it in. We're relaying love. And the best part about that is, even if you don't get the delivery of the message right, if you have come to somebody in love, they will still feel the love of God. So even if you say, look, does this make sense to you? I feel like this, or we'll get to some other ways to deliver messages. But even if the message isn't delivered and they say, that doesn't land for me, if you have brought that message in love, they're still going to feel seen by God. They're still going to feel loved, and they're still going to feel encouraged. Amen? Amen. So it's important. We get to trust Jesus. If we, who calls themselves a believer, is anyone a believer in the house today? Is anyone not a believer in the house today? Great. So we are all believers, which means we are all trusting the word of God. Amen? So we all trust Jesus and we all trust the word. And it's easy to say we trust the word, but when we hear things like my sheep hear my voice, then that means we know that we hear his voice. That's what trusting the word looks like. It puts aside whatever lies that the world or the enemy has told us, and then we renew our mind on what the word of God says, which is we hear the voice of God because it says it in the word. If it's in the word, it's available. So we get to trust God. We get to trust that Jesus is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And he says that he will pour out his flesh upon us. That he poured out his flesh at Pentecost, actually. But we'll get there. So Jesus has created us to be able to hear his voice. And prophecy is hearing the voice of God in the many different ways that he speaks. And he might speak to you all differently. Or he might speak to the one person in different ways. So we're going to go through some of those as well. So if you do not yet have the gift of prophecy, but you desire to, then we're going to ask Jesus for the gift of prophecy to be released to each person today, knowing that it tells us in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. So we can ask and we can believe and then we can receive. Amen? Excellent. So we've established what prophecy is, that it gives us it is the supernatural ability of God, the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to hear the voice of God for other people. And we can be assured that as followers of Christ, we're hearing his voice. So what then is the purpose of it? It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Oh, I also want to encourage you, but you all seem to be, so that's wonderful. Take notes. Take notes. It is being recorded. I don't know if you'll have access to that, but do take notes so that you can look over it later and just refresh yourself. It's a really good thing to do. But also, statistically, if you just hear somebody speak, you're actually only going to retain about 35 to 50% of what's said. And if you take notes, it goes up to 80 to 90%. So taking notes is a really good thing. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. I'm a Bible college lecturer. Can you tell? Sorry. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Edification. We prophesy. When we prophesy, we are building people up in faith. We're bringing the encouragement of the Lord to them. Exhortation. We're restoring strength to people. We're stirring people up to keep going, to keep fighting the fight of faith. This good fight, to not give up. We're reminding people of God's call over their life. We're reminding people that God is good and he loves them. And even if the situation they're in doesn't seem good, God will make a way. He always makes a way for your life. The situation may not turn out always the way you expect it, but God's hand of goodness is upon you because it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And the goodness of the Lord, you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So you can be encouraged to know that as you begin to bring the word of the Lord to people, he is going to have good things to say for them. Amen? And encouragement and comfort. We are speaking the encouragement of the Lord. We're saying what he's saying to an individual or to a group or to a region, and it heals wounded hearts. It speaks peace and it releases hope. Always. That's the gift of the prophet in the new covenant. Prophecy is always redemptive. Even if God reveals a struggle, the word points towards his solution. Jesus always has to be the center of the prophetic word. So if God reveals to you something about a person, he will always reveal to you a solution because that's who he is. And it's never condemning. Prophetic words are not condemning because it is the conviction of the Lord that leads a man onto repentance. It is not the condemnation of a man. So that's not the heart of God. So that's why I speak so much about when we bring words, we bring them with love. Last year while I was ministering in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil, I was at Iris Base where I was doing a week's worth of ministry, and the Lord revealed to me a couple who were going through, he just revealed to me a situation that they had just come through, and the basics were The wife no longer trusted the husband, and the husband had pulled his heart away from the wife because of the backlash of what they've been going through. And so the Lord's showing me this. And so he's giving me this revelation of word of knowledge of what they've been going through. But at this point, I don't start speaking things out. It's really important that we lean into the Holy Spirit, because the other thing about the prophetic, if it's never there to expose or to publicly expose or to bring embarrassment to people. That's not what the prophetic's about. And so that was simply just the revelation. So I still needed an interpretation. So I said to the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to speak into this situation? Because you're showing me the situation. What is it you want to speak into this situation? And instantly I heard the Lord say, tell them they are better together. Tell them they are better together. So I started to say to them, the Lord wants you to know you are better together. He says you are better together. And then the Lord started to show me, and I said, when you first got married, the Lord gave you both individually a dream on your wedding night that you would one day run a school, and that school would impact families, not just children, for the glory of God. And the Lord wants you to know that that is still a part of your destiny, but you are better together, because that's a call upon the two of your life to do that together. And then they started to weep, and they said, that's exactly what happened. And they had laid that dream down as though we had missed it or it was too late. But all of a sudden, because the prophetic word in love went forth and God spoke to a situation, their hearts became alive again. And I spent a lot of time ministering with them, but by the time we left, they were not only completely reconciled to each other, their leadership, and the Lord gave me some strategies for them about, you know, this is the leader the Lord wants you to connect with and blah, blah, blah. And there were people like names I didn't know. God just said it, and it turns out the people were in the room. And it was my first day there, so I hadn't met anyone. And so afterwards they came up and they're like, and what happened were the two names that the Lord told me that they were to submit themselves to were a couple that were running a school in a favela. And this couple had a heart to run that school in the favela, and they had never told anybody, and that couple were getting ready to retire, and they wanted this couple to take over and had not told anybody. And the Lord brings this around so that this couple don't end up divorcing and separating, but fulfill the plans of the Lord so that God gets glory and lives get completely impacted. And that is why I love the prophetic, because that is what Jesus does. He comes and he can take a situation that looks like it's hopeless and it can't be fixed, and God can breathe life and he can speak hope. And in that moment, everything looked different for these people. And the couple that run Iris Brazil were actually at VOA Brazil this year, and they were telling me that the transition's now starting, that couple's starting to hand over different parts of that school to this couple and train them and equip them. And in the next 2 years, they'll be taking it over, which is just praise God. Amen. Amen. So I had the revelation, and I didn't speak until the Lord gave me an application. And then I started to speak out the hope of God into that situation. In fact, I didn't even reveal what God had shown me because it wasn't necessary. Amen? So let me find somewhere in here that I can pick back up. So I didn't jump in at revelation, because what we call a mature prophetic word has three parts to it. It has revelation, it has the interpretation, God, what are you saying about this? And it has the application, God, how are you going to restore this? Rarely is it in that neat an order. So with that couple, it's like I'm jumping in and out of the Lord, showing me things. Okay, Lord, give me the interpretation of that. Okay, Lord, this is the application. You know, that was happening the whole way through. So it's not normally like you get this clear cut sometimes, particularly if they're short words. But when you're spending a lot of time ministering with people, the Lord will just continue to speak and reveal stuff. But mature words will have all three elements. So our God is a redemptive God who wants to bring healing, encouragement, and comfort and hope to every situation. And often that is delivered through a prophetic word. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. And that is what we refer to as a complete word. So revelation, it's your word of wisdom or your word of knowledge. It's where God reveals a situation to you. What God is showing or saying to you, what he is revealing to you on behalf of a person or a people group, a church, could be a political party, it could be your school, your workplace, or a region or a nation. God will give you revelation. It may be one word, it may be a picture, it might be a vision. It doesn't have to be long, it just has to be of God. I don't always share the revelation, especially if I'm in a public setting, if it can embarrass somebody. Rather, I ask God, what is it that you are saying? So I might just give the interpretation and the application. In that example, I didn't share what God was showing me. I just spoke what God was saying. And this is why the most important thing that you can learn about the prophetic is that first and foremost, you've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. You need to always lean into the Holy Spirit and be talking to Him. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, show me what you want to do. Lord, what does this look like? Like, ask the Holy Spirit. There have been times in my young zealousness that I've gone to speak, and a regular prayer for me, the prophetic isn't something that I gained a gift when I became a Christian. As a young child, even in a Catholic family, I remember my parents used to entertain, and they would get the guests, like our dinner guests, to sit on the couch and get me to go over and pray over them and say what God's going to do in their life. It was like something that the Lord always did. Then there was a season where I was away from the Lord, so that was different. But then as soon as I came back and gave my heart to the Lord, it was instantaneously that He unlocked these gifts again. And so for me, it's lifestyle. So in my zealous youngness, there was a time where, and so a prayer for me, a home group leader, when I got saved at Kenmore Baptist, and my home group leaders were the most phenomenal people, and they said to me, obviously I'm zealous in all that I do, and so they said to me, you should always pray that Holy Spirit only let me speak what you want me to say. And so I pray that regularly, Holy Spirit, only let me speak what you want me to say. And so this one time I see this grand vision and I go to speak it and I literally feel the Lord go, shoo, and no words came out. And I was like, what's that? And I go to do it again and I saw this, shoo, and I was like, and it made sense. And I was like, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is actually not what you're wanting to do right now. And even sometimes when you see things over people's lives, sometimes the Lord is actually just showing you to take it to prayer. Sometimes the gift of prophecy is actually for intercession. And so sometimes God shows me things and He just wants me to take it to Him in prayer and to pray for people or to pray for situations or to pray for churches or regions or nations. Sometimes He's like, pray into this. We had a lady, Arlene somebody from America come out recently. No, she's not. She's from Amsterdam, come out to my church recently. And she was saying that the Lord had put this burden upon her to go to the nations and to say to Christians, the Lord is saying, pray now that we would, no country would enter into, that the wars in the Ukraine and Russia would cease, or Israel would cease, because the enemy is trying to bring war to distract the great revival that the Lord's pouring out upon the earth. And she, and God has placed this heart on her to just go, and she's just going through the nations saying, Christians, wake up, start praying. We need to be praying for the revival and that peace would come upon these nations in this season for the revival to come. Because if you look into revival history, interestingly enough, every time a great revival comes, there's a war that brings a ceasing to it because it's a distraction. So it's a prayer. So sometimes the words that God gives us aren't in fact for us to give to somebody. Sometimes it's for intercession. It's one of the greatest things about the prophetic gift is that He reminds us and He brings stuff to our attention to pray for. One time, I'll be real quick at this one so I can get through the teaching, but one time I had a couple of girls that I got saved off the street. They were both in a drug rehab program, and the Lord one night woke me up and I saw in a vision these two girls being dragged into a car, and I had this urgency to pray. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's a nightmare. I think God wants me to pray. So I got up and I started praying, and I kept praying until I saw these girls break free from the grip of this guy and run. And then I watched as they went into a police station. This was Saturday night. Sunday morning, the girls come to church, and I say to them, her name, Minnie Kinshani were their names, and I said to them, Monique, I had the most random dream about you last night and I woke up praying for you. And she was like, oh, what was it? And I shared this dream and they both start weeping. And they were like, Pastor Abby, we almost got kidnapped last night. We're out in the valley and one of the girls had slipped. And so these two men were trying to pull them into a car and they said they were fighting, they couldn't get free. And then all of a sudden the guys just let go and drove off and they ran into the police station. And I was like, Jesus, you are so kind. So I want to encourage you that sometimes the prophetic gift is for us to pray. That's what God does. Amen. So the gift of prophecy isn't for us. It is for other people. It's an important key for the longevity of our faith that we stay humble and yielded and led by the Holy Spirit. Because the worst thing that can happen is you can tune in and just start prophesying accurately and then get puffed up. Because let me tell you, pride comes before a fall. And I've seen many ministers fall in my journey of being with the Lord. And nobody wants to see that. God loves all people. So as this gift begins to be refined, I want to encourage you, always recognize the gift of prophecy has got nothing to do with us. It is for others. It is God's way to, when he's prophesying over us, it's for us, it's great. But the reason he places this gift on our life is to encourage the body of Christ and non-believers to know that Jesus sees them. Keeps our hearts right before the Lord. It's a good thing. All right, Revelation. It is God-breathed insight. It could be a vision, a dream, an impression, or a word that you could not know without divine prompting, without the Holy Spirit letting you know. It's that initial moment of spiritual clarity where the Holy Spirit shares an insight with you. Interpretation. What does the revelation mean? Revelation alone is not enough. It needs clarity. Interpretation is about discernment and confirmation. Understanding what the revelation means. So our belief about God, this is really important, our belief about God and how we interpret his word will fundamentally shape how we prophesy. So we, as we want to step out in this gift, need to make sure that one, we're in the word of God, so we can know his nature and character. And two, we have a new covenant belief system. It's super important because what you believe will impact how you do it. It's important that we recognize who we really are. Here's a biblical illustration for you. In Luke chapter 9, verse 54 to 56, when Jesus and the disciples, James and John saw the Samaritans rejecting Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. And they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Well, that might seem odd for us, but there's a biblical example. In the story of Elijah, the captain comes with his 50 men to arrest him, and he calls down fire on them, and it consumes the captain and the 50 soldiers. And then the second captain and 50 soldiers come and he calls down fire and it consumes them. So the disciples have this old covenant biblical example, but we're new covenant believers. The third one comes and, you know, they plead, Elijah takes pity on them and it's all good. So James and John had a biblical example, but it was an old covenant story. So we need to make sure that as we're spending time in the Old Testament, we're viewing it through a new covenant lens, through what Jesus Christ has done. Because what was Jesus' reaction? He turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy people's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. God is love. And the new covenant that we live under is that God wants to see every person come to know him. So we need to make sure that we have that. The covenant of Jesus, which brings restoration, healing, forgiveness, it brings hope, and it always allows for repentance. Nobody is ever too far gone for Jesus' love. In a practical sense, I know a pastor who was called to the hospital to pray for a baby that had been diagnosed, newborn baby, and it was dying. And the family had called him, and he went in, his church family went in to pray. And he has this vision of Jesus holding the baby. And he shares this with the mum who's standing over the humidity crib. And he says, "I see Jesus holding the baby." And she breaks down crying. And she's like, "Jesus is taking my baby." Because her understanding is Jesus is taking my baby. But thankfully, that's not the pastor's understanding. He said, "What are you talking about? That's not Jesus. Jesus comes to bring life and life in abundance. Jesus is healing your baby. Your baby's going to live and will not die." And he starts prophesying over this baby. And within 24 hours, this baby completely turns around. He's taken off all machines. And to this day, he's living, not a baby anymore, but doing well in life. Amen? So that's why we need to have a really good grasp on who Jesus is. He's always hope. He's always love. That's who he is. Our belief system will always be the lens that we interpret through. So it's important to have a right belief system. And we get that through spending significant time reading about all the wonderful things that Jesus has done and all the wonderful things that the disciples did. Through spending time with God, praising him for how good he is. "Lord, I thank you that you have done this in my life." Reminding him of all the good things that he's done in your life. And if you're going through something that's affecting the way you see God or his children, if you're in conflict with somebody, don't prophesy over them. Because if your heart is not right towards them, your interpretation of what you're seeing might be wrong. So make sure you're in standing of love. Pastor Catherine always says, if you don't love somebody, you have no right prophesying over them. So one of the greatest gifts we can do is say, "Lord, give me your heart for this person." So when you get to go to work and you want to encourage somebody something and the Lord reveals something for you, "Lord, give me your heart for this person," before you go to release that, so that you're coming in the spirit of love. Application. This is the practical element. What we do with the prophetic word. Application involves using God's revealed and interpreted message in actionable ways, whether personally, corporately, or situationally. Without application, the prophetic word remains theoretical. So the applicable part. So sometimes God just wants to encourage somebody, but most often there's an application. Your prayer. Okay, so I keep praying. In this case of this couple that I was talking about from Brazil, the Lord wants you to come under, and I see these two people, and this is what the Lord's going to do. And it was quite, he was quite specific with some things. There's an application. So we say, "God, what are you wanting the people or the person to do with this information?" That's how we ask him for the application. For example, if you're giving a corporate word in church, at my church, almost every service, there is this opportunity where the recognized prophets of the house, those that Pastor Catherine, my senior leaders, have recognized as house prophets, bring forth prophetic words. So we receive a revelation, we speak the interpretation, and we ask God for what the application is. And we say this, "Lord, what are you wanting people to do with this week?" And when we get that part of it, that's when we'll get up and give it. Okay, so God wants to encourage us this week. Because that makes it, that gives us the, okay, Jesus, now I understand how to fight the good fight with the words that you're releasing. Illustration, the Lord is releasing faith. This is like a word. Not even, this is the word that God gave me for you guys last night. The Lord is releasing faith, boldness, and open hearts for you to share about what God has done for you personally. So this week, this is your application. So this week, walk in faith, looking for the opportunities that the Lord is going to bring along. Ask God every day, "Lord, who would you like me to share with today? Who would you like me to encourage today?" And then the action, in faith, be bold. Act and share the goodness of the Lord. So now we know that prophecy, a mature prophetic word, is three parts. But how do we step into that safely? Here's a few protocols I want to give you real quick. Be positive. Look for the good. Chris Vallotton says, look for the treasure, not for the trash. Keep it brief. A prophetic word doesn't have to be long. It just has to be what God says. Don't add to it. Don't subtract to it. Just say what he's saying. Be kind. Don't embarrass people. This is a really important one that we have in my house and we have for the Australian Council. Unless you sit in the office of a prophet, that is, you have been recognized by your church pastors as a prophet, or your church leadership as a prophet. Not just if you are prophetic, not just if you're exceptionally good at receiving prophetic words, or even if you're in somebody else's church and they haven't invited you to release prophetic words, then we say, don't give words about dates, mates, babies. No directional words. You're not directing people. Because once you've been recognized by your house as being the prophet, they're saying, we've watched you and there is an accuracy so we can trust what you're going to deliver. It doesn't mean any other person is not giving accurate words. It just means there's a safeguarding, because that's the pastor's role, to safeguard the flock. It just means that there is this safeguarding of the people. So don't prophesy babies, marriages, dates, unless the Lord has actually, or your house, your pastor has actually said, there we go. So that's our house. Your house might have different ones. So no directional words, no dates. Next one is be humble. Always remain humble. And if you get it wrong, but you're humble, it's okay. So, you know, it's okay. But don't keep going if you get it wrong. You know, if you get it wrong and they say that doesn't sit, well, then you say, okay, well, I just want to bless you. Lord, love on them. Lord, I thank you that you see them and you love them. I had a prophetic word from a very well-known prophet in my house, in my church, years ago. And he said, Abby, I see you. I mean, I was already traveling to the Pacific Islands preaching, but he says, I see the nations of the world opening to you, and I specifically see South America getting open to you. I see you running conferences in South America. I had zero desire in my life to ever go to South America. And in my heart, I am like, benching that one, Lord. And almost 10 years, I mean, I didn't dismiss it. I was just like, Lord, I'm benching that. There's no desire in my heart, but if that's you, then you'll bring it to pass. And I just benched it. And then 10 years later, my senior pastor says to me, I want you to come to Brazil with me. And I was like, not even thinking about the word. I'm like, sure. It's not what I said at first. I was like, oh, I don't think so. And she's like, no, I'm only taking our staff team this year and I want you to come. And I was like, okay, I'll come. And my heart was really heavy and sad, because I kind of have a rule in my heart. I don't want to go on holidays. I'm just not that person. I'm like, Lord, unless I'm going to minister, especially if I'm paying a lot of money, unless I'm visiting my brothers, they both live in other countries, love family. But like, you know, people have these wonderful holidays and that's like sweet and awesome and lovely for you all. But I'm like, Jesus, unless I get to preach your gospel or impact somebody's life for the gospel, not really keen. And so I was a little bit heavy. I was like, Lord, that's cool that I get to come and support Pastor Catherine who's speaking. And then I'm at a barbecue with some friends that afternoon and I'm chatting to my friend's sister who lives in Sydney, and she, who I know well, and she says to me, what are you doing? I said, actually, I just booked flights to go to Brazil. And she's like, seriously? And I was like, yeah. She's like, when are you going? I said, oh, not till October. This was the first year I went. And she says, oh, that's interesting. She goes, I got to go make a phone call. I'll be back. And I was like, yeah, righto. And then she comes back in, she's like, Abby, would you go and preach at my father-in-law's church in a favela in Belo Horizonte? And I was like, what? Really, Jesus? And I was like, yes. She's like, do you know what a favela is? And I was like, no. She's like, it's like the Bronx of America. I said, I'm in. I want to do that. She's like, are you sure? And I was like, yep. She's like, they'll keep you safe. I was like, I'm in, I'm there, yes. And I was like, that is the kindness of God. But when I said yes, that was when God reminded me of this word. Well, every single time I've gone to Brazil, the Lord has opened opportunities, not just for me to do the, because now I'm on Dr. Randy's ministry team at the conference, not just to do the ministry, which is phenomenal because you get to see so many people, like so many miracles. You get to prophesy over thousands of pastors, and it's just wonderful. But he's also provided opportunities like this, where he's opened doors. And so this year, I got to go out to the Amazon and run a prophetic conference. And I was like, Jesus, Like, the things I had no heart or desire for, you set me up for. Do you know? So sometimes when you're receiving a word and it might not make sense, don't necessarily reject it. Maybe just be like, okay, God, if that's of you, you can make that, you bring that to pass. Yeah? I mean, there's other words that we need to contend for and pray and be like, Lord, you said. There was a time where the Lord spoke, it was a prophetic word just to my heart. The Lord spoke to me when I was 19 years old. And I just, like, at 16, I gave the Lord my heart. At 19, I gave him my life. So I'm 19, 3 weeks later, the Lord tells me to go on this Youth for Christ camp and be a leader. And I walk into the Youth for Christ office and the Lord says to me, one day you're going to run this. And I was like, that's so funny. What a random word. But okay, Jesus. And then again, almost 10 years later, I was sitting in my church. I was a youth pastor at C3. I was sitting in my church and I was like, this thought just came to me that the Lord had given me that promise. And I was like, Lord, you said one day this is what I would be doing. So if that's of you, you need to make that happen. Because somehow at 29, I thought I was old. Thoughts have changed. And that afternoon, I get a phone call from Youth for Christ, from the gentleman that was running Youth for Christ Queensland at the time. And he says, Pastor Abby, we both know that I don't believe in women in leadership, but I am leaving the role to run a church and the board has asked me to call you to apply for this role. And I was like, oh. And I just knew. And at the time, my husband and I were praying about moving to Emerald because he had this awesome paying job opportunity. And so I was a bit timid. I was like, hey, babe, had this phone call. He's like, well, apply. And then so I applied for a role as a chaplain at Emerald Christian School and they called to say, you know, you've got the job. We need to know if you're coming. This is a month later. I said, because I'm not hearing back from you for Christ. And so then I said to my husband, if we're going to go to Emerald, I need to know because the school wants to know if I'm coming. And he's like, why are we talking about Emerald and why are you applying for jobs in schools? I was like, because you were talking about going to Emerald and there's lots of money there. And he's like, the Lord's told us to do Youth for Christ. I'm like, we haven't even heard from them. And he looks at me. This is a good thing about having a Christian husband. He's like, are you the woman of faith? I'm like, oh, yep. Yep, okay, so that's what we're doing. And then within a week, they called to say that I had the role. Praise God. And I was the most ill-equipped. Like, people, the guy that was running Mueller Bible College at the time applied. That's just the way God works. So I just want to encourage you and leave you with that because God is good. All right, I just want to pray really quickly before we finish this session. If you have believed that lie that you don't hear the voice of God, so you can't prophesy, no shame, but I just want you to raise your hand because I want to break that lie. If you've believed that, great. I knew that, yep, excellent. I knew there'd be, yep. All right, Jesus, I break that lie. I bind the lie of the enemy right now and I break it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that upon every person in this room, you open their ears to hear your voice. And I thank you that you are releasing the gift of prophecy today, that we would all prophesy because you desire that we would all prophesy. So we just release that now in Jesus' name. Amen.